seriously, all I will end by saying very briefly is what I started by saying. If I wanted to do this on my own, I would not have gotten up in the wee small hours and voted for people that are walking about very smugly shaking hands and taking use of the photo ops to saying they're doing it for me, okay? So have a good one. See ya.
Down to Brass Tacks, good morning. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
You.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, Peter.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm great.
You're great. Well, you know you're the man that the people love to hit. That's Ronnie Clark song. There's two things I want to talk about. First, you know, sometime earlier this year, I mean, you had a conversation pertaining to St. Michael's Southeast, where we say the electorate would be going, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to you that whoever come against Auntie Bradshaw will lose in every box. And you laugh and turn and say, you want to expose me. So left as is. But I hope that now that the dust has settled, right?
But that, when is she that win in every box?
No. I mean, it was dealing particularly with some Microsoft at the time, you and I, right?
Uh-huh.
But now that the dust has settled, right? I got every confidence, but what's more important to me, I want to make sure that whatever happened, done and dusted already, and we must look to push a lot of these programs, especially for the youth in our area, to bring a balance and to bring a level playing field where we in St. Michael's Southeast is concerned. I have already drafted some proposals to put before her. I hope that she could accept it because I believe 3, 4 years, 5 years down the road, if implemented early, right, that we will reap the benefits of these things, right? That is the one. That's one. Two, yesterday program I was listening to with Sanka Price, and a lot of people were calling about, you know, how people drive on the road and the accidents and whatever and things, right? And I know you are a driver. I stopped driving now 4 years because of the nonsense that is going on in the road. But it seemed to me that now I'm catching the transportation, the bus or walking, I really am more fear. And I want to know if I really should stand in the house. But yeah, I hear that the bus, some vehicles are coming in the house too, so I don't really know what to do. Right?
I just oh, this coming in your house?
Yeah, but some is coming in your house. That's happened. It's happened not as often as people get, they don't put in the street, but it's happened often. And only, I think it is last week, right? I was reading the paper, and the magistrate was telling the Speaker of the House, the current Speaker of the House, you know, in his capacity, that he's in the perfect position now to have changed some of these laws pertaining to the punishment of persons found guilty of causing death and injuries in vehicular accidents, right? And I believe that we as a country need to take these things very, very seriously. 2 Fridays ago, I had a situation there, a very frightening experience, and I made a complaint about it to the transport board, right, pertaining to the attitude of a particular driver. Now, Peter, we catch the bus, me and some elderly men catch the bus about 7:45 every night there by Woolworth, right? And this particular guy, I don't know if something is wrong with him. I don't know what problem he has, but it is always a danger to travel with him. That we decide that we are not traveling with him anymore, we would make a report to the relevant authorities. Now, could you imagine, Peter? You know White Park Road, right? Hello?
I'm hearing you. Yeah.
Yeah. You know White Park Road. You know they've got a lot of curves and bends and whatever. And when a bus is traveling there over 70 and 80 miles an hour, it could be very dangerous to the people coming from the other side, from the northern direction.
Frankly, I think a bus traveling at 70 miles an hour is far less 80 is a problem regardless of where it's going.
Right. Well, I only just explaining to you what has been happening, right? Now, 2 Fridays ago, we caught the bus by Woolworth. When we get to just before I get to the big court, the Supreme Court, a person was coming out from the side road. They came out slowly. This driver had so much speed. He never engaged the brakes. he drive almost, I would say, 10, 15 feet away from the vehicle and stop. And start to flare off his hands. Now, he turned and told a lady that he was talking to. The lady turned and said, you know, some people just want a new car. So I asked myself, what sort of stupid comment that could be? You think somebody would like somebody with a bus to drive in the back of them? Mm-hmm. Now, he saw this person come. Now, he could engage his brakes and drive slowly. And he flew off his hand and said these words, not a new car, a new coffin in Westbury. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, this same driver, some weeks before, you know the stoplights in Swan Street. When he got there, somebody, which they were wrong, had parked close to the building just there. So he could not get through. So he had to wait. Somebody called the person. When the person came out, it was a Syrian or Indian. And the person told him, sorry. You know what he told the person? It didn't have to do with the story. The next time he come out here and he see anything there, wherever he see gun, he saw with me. Mm-hmm. This is a transport board bus driver that is saying these things. Now, I told him, if you do not be careful, you are going to kill somebody on the street. You allow me to know as an old foolish this, and I should catch taxi, and all sorts of things. But what is painful, it is only when the shoe up and people foot that is realized the dangers. You know, during this period of time, Mr. Wickham, mm-hmm. you know a car went in the fence there just at the junction of a passage road. You know another car came and went up the sidewalk there by the funeral home, Lyndhurst Funeral Home. So you could imagine a bus traveling at that type of speed, what type of injuries it could cause, right? Now, Mr. Wickham, I have experienced, I lost a sister-in-law in a vehicle accident in 27. My brother, which was her husband, he had stopped drinking alcohol for a while, called the doctor to stop him, right? She died in October, and he died in January. He went back on for the drinks because of that. These people are not aware of the problems that families just face when these things happen. And if you put a weapon, if you put any object in the hand of a fool, you know it becomes a weapon. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I spoke to the person there over complaint. He did get back to me, but when he called, I wasn't at home, so I called back. And he told me that he's sorry that I was not there, so he could put me on the speaker for to hear what he said. You know the same guy took two other drivers there to say that he's complaining all the time? You get my point?
I'm with you, so sir. I'm following you.
So in complaining, you got to ask yourself a question. It mean all three of them is very fast and ignorant, eh? That's all it could mean. If that is true. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah, sir, I'm understanding and following you. I was trying not to interrupt you too much while you made your point. Unfortunately, we're going to have to run. We have another segment now, which is called The Latest News. So we go to that. We'll be back with you in about 5 or 10 minutes, and then we wrap up this program of Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. That was quite a last call that we just had. Well, the one before the last, really. And I want to spend a little bit of time discussing this whole question of price gouging and so on. Firstly, let me make a quick comment. Maria is asking me to comment on the victory of Alexandria Cortez, 28-year-old Latina, who ran in her first campaign. And my understanding is that she is very much a left-wing Democrat. And she scored a victory over a slightly more conservative Democrat. And I mean, it's a valid point, Maria. I think it's saying to me that the Democratic Party in the U.S. is clearly going in a different direction. What we saw in Barbados, where there was a highly unpopular government and the reaction was a clean sweep, isn't something that's likely to happen in the United States. So what I do feel is happening is that there is a revulsion to the Republican ideal that is being expressed in this way of extreme Democrats. And it is entirely possible in this environment that a Democrat who is slightly more left, somebody of the Bernie Sanders variety, could very well come to the fore in relation to the presidential bid. So it's interesting, an interesting move step in that direction, and certainly one that is something that we definitely have to watch. Couple of comments here. Somebody said, Peter, nothing changed economically after the entry of a competitor. Sorry, other than the entry of a competitor into the CPET market. A certain supplier dropped from $27 a bag to $16 a bag. What stopped them from doing all along? Certainly, we were being robbed blind. This comment reflects the complexity of this whole question of price control, and I think that we need to be careful when we rush to judgment in relation to that. No, the competitor that entered the market was essentially importing cement and selling it, while the existing supplier in the market was manufacturing cement in an environment in Barbados that's highly uncompetitive. And I have said it over and over again, Barbados is not the best place to do business because wages are higher, and it is difficult in an environment where you are manufacturing a good in Barbados, paying local salaries and wages, and paying all of the other local costs for you to be able to sell it for less than somebody who is essentially importing it from a place that has lower operating costs in relation to production. Which begs the question as to why do we still have an Arawak cement plant in the first place. But the issue of pricing is somewhat complex and is similar to what I was talking about. The lady is having concerns about high prices. And I'm saying to the lady that there's so many mechanisms that you can put in place. And I acknowledge that Senator Walcott has already indicated just now that government will be using the Fair Trading Commission to control prices to some extent. And I think that that is a noble ideal. At the same time, however, I was trying to make the point to her that as the consumer, she is the best guardian of prices. Because you can have two entities selling the same product and they can legitimately sell it at higher prices. One of the reasons why the supermarket that I talked to her just now about, the one that has become more popular of late, no pun intended, offers better prices than other supermarkets that don't. But nonetheless, people still flock to the other supermarkets that don't. For very many different reasons. Sometimes it's variety, sometimes it's just that they don't like the congested environment in the slightly more popular supermarkets. But whatever it is, they are able to establish a different price point and how people pay for their goods, even though their goods are more expensive. So the idea of saying that you are to have an agency that is police and force down prices is something that's highly unrealistic. What we have to do as consumers is we have to become more wise. And this is a view that I held before as well as now. The challenge in relation to the NSR well, which was made by the consumer ministries, consumer agencies, is that the NSRL, because it went on at the level of the importation of a product, automatically pushes up the cost of goods, makes it difficult to do business, discourages this commerce, and so on. While the removal at the NSRL means that everyone who is selling a product does not have that factor to consider, and you're getting government revenue from somewhere else. So you may get government revenue from the water authority through your tax on water. But that does not have the same inflationary capacity as the NSRL does because of the fact that the NSRL attaches itself to all goods and services. So theoretically, goods coming in now can be cheaper. Now, I don't know how you're going to police to ensure that they force the prices down. But what I can say is that it gives someone who is ingenious the opportunity to import the same products at a reduced price and hopefully drive business towards them. That is what I was hoping the lady would understand. But I think it's clear to me that she was anxious to make a political point. So I can speak until I'm blue in the face. Ultimately, she believes somewhat different. But that's the kind of thinking that I think that we need to embrace in the case of Barbados. It's now 12:51. Let's see if we can get a few more calls in and say good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, Mr. Vickham.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I like to engage you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't always agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But tell that guy, because persons do not agree with you, they don't love to hit you.
True.
All right. Prices. Sometimes I shop at the supermarket because it's convenient, as you said, right? Because
mm-hmm.
if I'm going to pay $4 to go downtown to save $3, it makes no sense.
You shop at popular supermarkets or you shop at less popular supermarkets?
A high-end one.
Okay.
Because yeah. It is convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And I look around for reasonable items, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saw some Horlicks. For $19, And it ain't come one of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the same thing for 13 something.
Okay.
So I said, that's like, well, a $5 difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped buying the Horlicks. And only if I can get downtown, I would buy that one at 13 something. So we have to stop, as you was trying to tell the lady. You know, I went by the supermarket many times, because I tell you it is convenient for me, right? And those Horlicks weren't moving. You know, now they're at 13 something.
They dropped the price, okay. So you're forced action on their part?
Pardon?
You're forced action on their part.
If we do not buy the item, mm-hmm. if we think it's exorbitant, if somebody really wants it for whatever reason and they want to buy it at $19, they can do that. But if we know that it's an outrageous price in comparison to somebody downtown, or look, even if it was, say, $14, $15, right? I would have bought it. But now I had 19 something for the same 500 grams.
You do appreciate, though, ma'am, that supermarkets do what they call loss leaders. So the Horlicks could very well be priced below cost at the other supermarket that you went to, mm-hmm. but at cost at the supermarket that the other supermarket, which means that you go in the door to buy Horlicks and you pick up a few other things. You know, and that is a strategy that supermarkets employ. So in many instances, you may see a lower price and, you know, it's real. It's just that it is less than what it costs to actually sell the good because they want you to shop there. So it's possible that the idea of your building up loyalty to that establishment can start with your going there to buy the Horlicks and it can continue in relation to other things.
I am not an economist. Right, not a mathematician, but just like the cement. I understood from everything that our cement was being sold down the island much cheaper than here. So you're saying to produce it here is much higher.
Yeah.
But Mr. Vickham, not even $5 higher, $10. I think they're really overpriced us here in Barbados. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pay a little more because of production and our wages, but to go as far as $10 plus, that is ridiculous. You see what happened here?
Mom.
This country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What I think happens? People speak about Bajans getting higher wages than some of the islanders and so on. And I think when persons come here to do business, some of them want to get rich really quick without thinking about the citizens. I find that if you care about, even on this tough time, if the merchants are custom getting 100% profit, I don't think they should aim for that in this environment because everybody got a chip in. So I just to get the country back on par and so on, and know the other NRSL is off. I'm waiting to see if some of the products that I have to buy will decrease. I'm not talking about right away because I have to get rid of the stock and thing that they had an RSL on, right? But don't tell me that by the end of the year that instead of balancing it out, that those products are going to be more.
One of the things I hope that can happen out of all of this, ma'am, is that we can have some kind of consumer initiative to set up either websites or whatever where we can feed information into a central location regarding the cost of goods. As I said, it's not something that I am likely to do, but I do feel that there are many shoppers who would browse a website like that, look to see where simple products like the Horlicks that you identified. And, you know, if you can go towards those places. But as I said, we already know that there's a particular supermarket chain that tends to offer lower prices on just about everything. And my question is, why don't more people go there? Now, you said one of the factors is convenience. And I mean, that is entirely reasonable. Somebody is telling me here online that if I think the prices in the supermarket are expensive, then look at the prices in the gas stations. And she knows that there are people who go to gas stations and do shopping. And that's very true. I mean, we understand why gas stations are more expensive. But ultimately, people still buy things there, and it has to be a reason for that.
I don't see anything wrong with a little more here and a little more mm-hmm. there. But $5 more, $10 more.
It's a bit much.
Yes.
And it adds up. Yeah.
Yes. All right.
All right, ma'am. Thanks. So you brought us to the end of the program. I have a whole lot more messages here, but unfortunately, we can't read all of them. People feel the Fair Trading Commission needs to take cognizance of what's going on. People feel that we get ripped off and taken advantage for. As someone is even saying to me, why is it that Arawak can sell cement overseas cheaper than it can sell here? All of these are the questions that boggle the mind, and unfortunately, I can't spend the time now to answer them because Dennis tells me that it's time for us to go. Special thanks to Dennis today for accompanying us through this morning. Also, special thanks to all of you who called and made the program as exciting as it was. The time went very quickly, and unfortunately, we now have to go. I do hope that all of you have a really great weekend. Get out, enjoy your crop over. Of course, remember, don't overdo, and I look forward to chatting with you next Tuesday on Down to Brass Tacks.